Thank you. First of all, I want to say that on occasion, my ward's no different than any others. On occasion, there may be a missed trash pickup or recycle pickup. It happens infrequently, but I want to take this opportunity to give kudos to the sanitation director because he is very responsive at taking care of something that, may have been missed or a broken cot or something like that. So, as you know, I have no problem tackling a fight, but I also believe in giving kudos where they're due. So, yes, I think this is a good thing, Eric. I agree with it. I'm happy to see you moving forward with it. I do have some questions. One is, have you actually observed this system in action? Have you been to a community that's using this exact software right now?
I have not. No, I have not seen it in action.
So why are you convinced then that it's going to be as effective as you hope it's going to be?
Well, there are testimonials from major cities that they do operate in. Glendale, Houston, Kansas City, Memphis, Atlanta, Denver, and Miami all implement this system on obviously a much larger scale than we do. And they have all spoken very highly of it and speak to the efficiencies, the cost savings. And so that's kind of what I'm basing my opinion on.
Okay. Are there any other communities in Rhode Island that are using this?
No.
That's interesting. Are there any other communities in New England that are using this?
I don't know, but it's different for a lot of municipalities because a lot of municipalities don't pick up their own trash, right?
Right.
Municipalities wouldn't be able to make this decision if they had a waste management or a mega who was picking up their trash. That would have to be those entities, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a big difference.
Sure.
We control that. And so we're allowed to, obviously implement something like this without, having to jump through hoops.
Sure. So assuming that it's going to do everything that you expect, we could actually be a trendsetter here in the state, right?
That's it.
Yeah. Eric, this system, it says the GPS system leaves a breadcrumb trail. I'm very familiar with that, with GPS systems and navigational, et cetera, et cetera. Is this GPS, is it activated the moment a driver gets in the vehicle and leaves the bond for his or her daily routine?
Yeah. It actually, unlike the previous entity we tried to use, this is actually all controlled by a cell phone, right? As part of this, the next step would be to get city-issued cell phones for all the drivers so that I could take them, mount them in the vehicle, and then that's how this program is run. So yeah, it would start right when they turn it on and mount it in the vehicle.
Which brings me to one of my other questions is the cell phones. So the cell phones, the cost of the cell phones and the usage and monthly fees of the cell phones are not included with this particular
No.
program. Okay. Now, so each the cell phone will be with the truck or with the driver?
I guess that would depend, right? It would depend, but for the most part, the cell phone would be with the truck. Unless there was an issue with the truck, he had to bring it in and then he had to jump into a different truck. So then it would stay with the driver. But for the most part, when a driver is assigned a route in the morning, they would go take the phone and go out to that route, right?
Yep.
And then if something changed, it would have to be an anomaly for it to not be with the driver, I think, right?
So does this cell phone, similar to the question I asked about the trucks, does this cell phone go home with the drivers?
Absolutely not, no.
Okay, so the cell phone will remain at a DPW headquarters after the end of the shift. And when the driver comes in the following day, whoever is assigned to that truck will get that cell phone, which is assigned to a specific truck.
That's the way we anticipate it. Yeah.
Okay. Does the driver have the ability to turn this GPS off at any particular time?
I would imagine if you shut the phone off, it would stop working. But obviously, that would be a red flag as to what they were doing, and that would be reason to question them when they came back into the yard.
So that is something that's monitored by the yard?
Well, yeah. I mean, if all of a sudden you see the vehicle going, you know, doing its route, and then it goes out, we still have regular communication.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Call him on his regular cell phone or, you know, on the radio and find out, hey, what's going on?
Is this information stored anyplace? Do you keep it for a week, a day, 30 days, 60 days?
Yeah, I don't know that answer. It is all cloud-based, but I don't know how long they maintain that data.
If it's something that can communicate back and forth or has the ability, as you said, to communicate back and forth with a property owner, I would assume that there's some time frame that this remains available, right?
I assume so as well, yes.
So this GPS will have the ability to track that vehicle wherever it is, whether it's on its route or whether it's stopped somewhere for lunch or whatever, the vehicle will be monitored pretty much the entire shift.
Correct.
Okay, I'd be interested in knowing about the storage and the time frame that this information is kept. I think there's certainly a benefit to having that. This also says that the proposal, bring your own devices, requires one-time implementation and training services. What does the training services consist of? And will each driver be receiving that training, or will it just be yourself as an example?
No, all the drivers would learn it. And the implementation is, like I said, that's them collecting all the data about our routes and the city and, you know, one ways and all that. And that's part of it. And then the training would be, mostly training for the sanitation division, because they're the ones that monitor the day to day. But also the drivers, obviously, so they understand what they're looking at as well.
Okay. All right. I think, and I don't know what the answer will be or if it's something that is feasible, but you brought up some good points about fluorescent light bulbs, and I'm sure we've all seen things sticking out of the trash cans that say, you know, somebody is in a different planet, you know, if they think that's going to get picked up. It might be something to consider either with mailing a tax bill or some mailings that are done to the residents with, you know, a punch list of what you should put or what you should not put in these trash bins. Because I know I've gotten a couple of calls where my trash wasn't picked up and I go by there and they got like a telephone pole sticking out of this thing.
Well, it's kind of like the calendar we send out every year, right?
Yeah, right. All right, thank you.
Are there any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Thank you. Moving on to bid 2025-189 Alpha Police Personnel Uniforms. This is found on page 17. Good evening, Major. Just reintroduce and take it over.
Good evening, Major Andy Sullivan for the Police Department. The Police Department went out to bid for police personnel uniforms and received two bids. The Police Department recommends awarding the bid to Barney's, as they were the, because they bid on the majority of the items and have provided exceptional service to our police department over the years. The other bidder, Brigham Industries of Massachusetts, bid only on boots, which are rarely purchased through this bid. If approved, spending authority in the amount of $50,000 would be sourced from budget code 30-260, miscellaneous police gear and uniforms.
Thank you. Any questions from members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the council? Questions from the public? Questions from the public? Thank you, Major.
Thank you.
We come to the part of the bid package where I will go to the committee, to members of the council, to members of the public. If there is any item on the bid package that you wish to pull for discussion, that would be the time. I'll give everyone a moment, though I know we've had a good week to review. Is there anything from members of this council that they would like to pull for discussion? Thank you. Are there any items members of the council would like to pull for discussion? Councilman Lattisaur.
Item number 8, 2025-216, found on page 26, towing services. And item number 12, 2025-209, found on page 35, Lucas 3 service agreement. And bear with me 1 minute. We may have one other. Item number 13, 2025-180, structural firefighting helmets, found on page 39.
Thank you. I will ask Councilwoman Travis and Councilman Ricks. Item number 16 is the fabrication and delivery of welcome signs. Would you like me to allocate that just so you can make a few words? Thank you. Item number 16, bid 2025-187, is the joint ARPA funds for the ward, the welcome signs. So I'll just call that out for you. I'll go to the councilwoman and the councilman Ricks. Thank you. And are there any items that members of the public would like to discuss? Are there any items members of the public would like to discuss? Thank you. So we will go in order as it was requested. So the first up would be item number 8. This was requested by Councilman Lattisaur. This is DPW Towing Services. This is found on page 26. It's bid 2025-216. Good evening, Director. Director, after you're introduced, Councilman Lattisaur, you have the floor.
Eric Earls, Public Works.
Thank you. On towing services, who has that contract now?
I believe it's Ronnie's.
It's Ronnie's that has it now?
Yes.
And aren't you looking to add Ronnie's on to it with this item right here? It says Ronnie's Towing and Recovery. The Department of Public Works is requesting an exception of to notice for towing services required by the Automotive Division. The vendor has heavy truck, blah, blah, blah. If Ronnie's has it already, why do you need to add Ronnie's on now for an additional $20,000?
Because.
Or for $20,000?
It's expiring from last year.
I'm sorry?
It's a 56-6. It's expiring.
Okay, so you're simply looking to renew this?
Francis says yes.
And I assume that's what you want to do?
That is correct.
Have you used any of this towing money so far?
Yeah, we regularly use Ronnie's.
And you had a contract with Ronnie's, right?
Yes, the one that's expiring.
Okay, so it doesn't tell us that. It just says 1 year from date of award. When at least I don't see. When does this contract, or when did this contract expire?
I apologize. I don't have my stuff quite in order. We don't. I'm sorry. We do not currently have a contract with Ronnie's. I apologize.
I see, Director, if you don't mind, I see the purchasing director would like to make a statement. Please identify.
Francis Gomez, purchasing director.
Thank you. You want to clarify this?
Yes. So last year, DPW asked for a 56-6 exception to bid because Ronnie's was the only towing service available close by to rescue our truck drivers from the landfill when needed. Therefore, it was only asked for a one-year term. This a 56-6 isn't, I'm going to go to Ronnie's and say, hey, there's an award, here's a contract with us. No, that's just spending authority in order to use Ronnie's towing, which is for heavy-duty trucks, if I'm not mistaken. So therefore, since the year is over, which I don't have the information right now, maybe Eric can get it, but it was last year that we asked for the spending authority. It's expiring due to the 56-6 exception, which is the ordinance, and that's why they're coming back to ask for more money for this fiscal year.
So when we award spending authority, we don't just, you know, give you a blank check and a credit card and say, you know, take off forever. It has a time limit to it. And what I'm asking is, when did the time run out on the spending authority or the contract for this item?
And Eric can get you that information.
November
of 2024?
It hasn't expired yet. Yes, November 2024.
The contract expires November of 2024. So I don't understand why this is being listed as a 56-6, and I don't understand why the contract period is being shown as 1 year from date of award. Why is this... seems to be so confusing here.
The language, maybe the language isn't accurate as to 1 date from 1 year from date of award. It was probably meant to be 1 date from 1 year from the expiration date, which would make sense because then there wouldn't be any overlap. But I don't know exactly right now.
But typically, it will give us, you know, when the contract expires. As a matter of fact, in the binder, typically, it'll give us the previous award. It'll show us the previous award, as other things in this binder do. And now, as I'm looking through it again, that's not in here either. At least it's not in mine, anyhow. So there just seems to be, you know, some miscommunication here. And with this item, here we have a bid that we're not told what the expiration date is, so we have no clue if it expired already or not. And it's calling for 1 year from the date of the award. I think that, you know, the accuracy of these things needs to certainly be looked at.
Sorry. I also think, I'm sorry, I also understand that any of these could have been answered by an email earlier in the week, right? I apologize that Christy's not here, but any one of these questions could have been cleared up well before this meeting.
And I'm not even going to bother wasting my breath to repeat why I asked the questions on the floor. I'm done for now.
Are there any further questions or comments from members of this committee? Questions, comments from members of the council? Questions, comments from members of the public?
One more question.
Question for whom, Councilman?
I'd like a copy of the contract for this that just expired in November.
The councilman requested to have sent to him a copy of the contract that
expired. Can I make a comment, please?
Oh, please identify.
Francis Gomez, purchasing director.
And what were you going to say?
So when it comes to a 56X exception to bid, it is very different from an advertised bid, which usually departments come to council to either extend the contract or increase the amount requested. A 56-6 exception to bid is the department in need of going to the particular vendor because this is a sole vendor or the most efficient vendor, or maybe they have no other choice or no time to go out to bid, et cetera, et cetera. A 56-6 exception does not have a contract signed by myself or between DPW and the vendor at all. This is only for the spending authority because our threshold is so low. If they were to use it maybe a couple of times and get to $2,500, they would have to come to council to ask for more money. So that's why for the fiscal year of 2025, which we are in, DPW is asking for spending authority for Ronnie's Towing. There is no contract signed. It's already a year that they've used it. They probably need more money, and that's where they're asking for more money for the fiscal year 2025, where 2024 was, and maybe I don't have the numbers, already expended. And that's my only comment.
Thank you. So there's no contract, Council.
Mr. Chairman, what the director just alluded to was a 56-6. On our documents tonight. My question is she absolutely positive that the one that the director just testified to is expiring in November? Is she positive that that was a 56-6? However, let me rephrase my question. I am requesting a copy of all paperwork and documents pertaining the issue of Ronnie's Towing Service for the last year.
Thank you. That is on record that Councilman Lattiser is requesting all documents and paperwork on Ronnie's Towing pertaining to this 56-6 and under Ronnie's Towing.
Pertaining to the contract, as I'll term it, that Director Earls testified to is expiring in November.
Understood.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'm just going to make a statement for the record since a more general topic was seemingly brought up in relation to this bid. Well, rather not bid, but 56-6. So, a concern that many of us on the council have, I suppose I should just speak for myself here for the moment, but something that Rhode Island has unfortunately gained a reputation for, Rhode Island municipalities and the like, that we all should be very cognizant of and trying to correct, is the reputation of knowing a guy and knowing that in the decades past, I don't think so much nowadays in most or all municipalities, I don't think that this is really so much of an issue as it was in the past, but there were certainly times in the past where different cities and towns, it would be a matter of, okay, know someone in the administration, go ahead, have that person just make a phone call, and they'll go with the vendor where they have a friend or the like. That's why, even though this process with the bids and the like may seem Byzantine and even counterproductive at times, that's why we go through this whole exercise every couple of weeks to make sure that we're being as transparent with the public as possible about why we're going with one vendor or another. And one would imagine that there has to be more than one vendor across this entire state who offers this particular type of towing service. So I think that the more that we can stick with the more traditional process and avoid going the 56-6 route, that's something to be preferred, even if we just wind up in the exact same position of spending the exact same amount of money and someone having to unfortunately put in extra hours of work to get to the same result. At the end of the day, it can give the public more confidence that on this particular item and in so many other items that the public is not seeing, that everyone is doing the right thing to try to protect those taxpayer dollars and make sure that the most qualified and lowest priced bidders are getting that work. So I'd like to commend Councilman Lattiser for following up on that. And I'm certainly not saying anything whatsoever to disparage this particular vendor. I'm sure that they do an excellent job. It's just a matter of we need to have that extra degree of transparency because this is a municipal government. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions, comments? Any questions, comments from members of the public? Questions, comments from members of the public? Thank you. Continuing on the order as they were presented. Item number 12 is bid 2025-209. That is Lucas 3 service agreement. That is found on page 35. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening, Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the Fire Department.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Chief, in your position paper, you state that any lapse of service contract by the city would result in a loss of a point of sale discount, which is reflected here, offered by Stryker Medical. This 10% discount is only applied to service contract quotes if a device has had an uninterrupted service plan since the original purchase date. Do we comply with that?
We do.
And when was that original purchase date?
The original Lucas 3s were purchased 4 years ago. They were under a one-year warranty, standard warranty. And then once that warranty was about to expire, then we got a three-year contract. And then that brought us to the end of the contract, which is ending this month. And then we're looking to go into a new three-year contract to maintain that uninterrupted service.
And I also see here, which I think this is actually a good thing, that solely at the discretion of the fire department, this contract could be canceled or modified at any time, right? So if for some reason you're unhappy with the service, it can be canceled with a prorated refund without any penalties.
Correct. Our biggest reason for that was if we added a device or we removed the device from service, or we were we locked into paying three-year contract on the device that we no longer own, and their reply to that was no, it's can be canceled at any time if the device is no longer owned by the city and you don't want to have the service, and they'll prorate you the difference in what you've paid for the year already.
Chief, I'm curious too as to why this bid is coming to us so late, given the significant importance of this particular bid.
So a couple reasons, and I apologize for not putting this in the recommendation letter that I put forward. It was getting lengthy as is. One of them was Stryker is historically a little slow at getting me quotes. They are a very busy company, and I try to get out as long as I can out to try to request the quotes. The other reason was they offer multiple quotes when they do put in, depending on the level of service you want. Some of them offer replacement battery service and different things. So we need to, once we actually get the quotes in, which were a little late getting to us, it took us a while to review the quotes The one instance in this case specifically was whether or not we needed to include battery replacement for the 3 years. We have just received new batteries for all three devices under warranty. We wanted to confirm that those batteries were, there was going to be enough batteries and that those batteries were going to be shipped to us before we decided to go with this plan, which does not include the battery replacement. So we wanted to make sure that the equipment that we thought we were getting and the service contract that we thought we wanted, which was the less expensive one, was appropriate before we made the decision.
All right. Thank you for that. On the invoice that I'm looking at from Stryker as well, it has the ProCare total $17,131.50. It also has a ProCare annual payment of $5,710.50. What is that?
That's just the yearly. So it's a 3 year contract. It's $5,710.50 per year.
Okay, yeah. Got it. All right. Thank you, Chief. That's all I have on that, Chairman.
Are there any questions from members of this committee? Are there any questions from members of the council? Are there any questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief. Next is item number 13, bid 2025-180 structural firefighting helmets. This is found on page 39. Chief, please identify. Councilman Lattice, or you have the floor.
Assistant Chief Umbenhauer from the Fire Department.
Thank you. On this item, it states that the standard requires retirement and replacement of protective gear that does not meet inspection slash testing standards or protective gear that has met the maximum service life of 10 years. Who performs the inspection slash testing? What are the qualifications of the individuals that are doing that testing? And what does that testing consist of?
So I'm going to have you recall when we came to you, I believe, over the last month for turnout gear. It's the same process. This is considered part of the turnout gear standard. So we have our own in-house people. Typically, it's the training division who performs this. They are qualified and certified under the NFPA standard for test and inspection of personal protective equipment. That's done by typically the manufacturers provide that training of the equipment that we're using. A lot of it's online web-based stuff now where they go through a class, they answer all the questions, they pass a test, and then mm-hmm. they become qualified. So annually, when they go through their protective gear, like the normal coat and pant that you expect, they don't just go through the coat and pant, they also do the helmets, the gloves, the hoods, the boots. The whole ensemble is what gets inspected when we do those annual gear inspections, not just the coat and pants.
Okay. And on those pieces of equipment or clothing that are tested, those items that are or have been determined to fail or not meet up to the standards, is there a record kept of those particular items that I assume are going to be disposed?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's required by NFPA. Yep.
Okay.
So that we keep track of all gear through its life cycle through the fire department, when it was issued.
Okay.
When it was used, if it had any damage that occurred to it from, you know, debris, anytime that there's any sure. damage that occurs to it, it's supposed to be recorded. And then when it was placed out of service and how it was disposed of.
And how long do you keep those records for?
Perpetually.
I'm sorry?
For indefinitely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they have to be by NFPA standard in case, you know, 20 years down the road, somebody has a claim of an injury. We have a record of their gear.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for members of this committee? Further questions from members of the council? Any further questions from members of the public? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
I called on item number 16, bid 2025-187, fabrication and delivery of welcome signs. I just wanted to ask Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Ricks, to please just identify what these signs are. I know that it's part of the ARPA funds, and make a statement if they'd like. Councilwoman Travis.
We have signs going on Seaview Drive, which is a very dangerous road. And hopefully this is going to help slow them down. And Pequot Avenue. These are streets that are fairly speeders all the time. They're parallel with Oakland Beach Avenue. And those are the two new streets I put them in.
Thank you. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So this would be the third sign for Ward 2. The bids on the first two signs came in lower than expected. And so as it seemed that there was some additional money for that type of spending, I went with the third most popular sign as well, per the survey that I released, which received 347 total responses. And that sign being for a Welcome to Lakewood sign right over by and facing opposite of the Welcome to Norwood sign over by Station 2. So this way, when motorists are driving down Post Road one direction, they'll be welcomed to Lakewood just as they're currently when driving in the other direction, being welcomed to Norwood.
Great, thank you. Any other follow-up comments from members of this council? Members of the public? Thank you so much. May I have a motion on PCR 92-24 resolution relative to bids?
Favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Item number two is PCR 93-24 resolution relative to abatements. Good evening, Director.
Good evening. Neil Dupuy, Director of Assessing. I apologize for my voice, but dealing with a little cold tonight. This month, we have abatements for you in the amount of $9,788.35, with the exception of one $70 adjustment for a granted appeal. They were all new exemptions, but I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for members of this committee? Questions from members of the council? Questions from members of the public? Questions from members of the public? Thank you, Neil. May I have a motion on PCR 93-24?
Move favorable action.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The time is now 6:30 and the Finance Committee is closed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next committee to meet is the Public Safety Committee, and that can take place at this time. Thank you.
Good evening. The Public Safety Committee.
Hello?
Oh. Is the acceptance of minutes August 19th. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Aye.
Aye.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There we go. Thank you, gentlemen. First item is PCR 94-24, resolution relative to claims. The first item is Karen. Oh, I'm sorry. First, acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on August 19th. Do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Now we're at PCR 94-24. The first claim is for Karen Gabarian. The recommendation is to approve. I spoke with the council liaison who spoke to finance, and the reason the dollar amount is $160 is because she decided to only get one tire. See the two tires installed? She only went with the one, so her request is for the $160. Do we now, any questions from the committee?
This one I had some uncertainty about. Perhaps the chair may be able to answer, or or someone else may be able to answer. So I did see that Firestone at 74 cents more, $115.74, that would have included the installation. So it was my sense from the documentation that the basis for the 160 was the difference between the cost of the installation versus just the cost of the tire. So I wasn't entirely certain where we were getting the 160 as opposed to just going with the 115.74.
I made the same, the 115 did not include installation.
Correct. However, the Firestone 115 and 74 cents, that estimate did include the installation.
So do you want to make an amendment to the 115.74?
Yes.
All right, hold on first. Before we do that, any other questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Hearing none, do we have an amendment? Do we need a PCR first? Okay, thank you very much. What do we have for our... Let's go to the solicitor. All right, so...
Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
If the motion is a favorable motion, it can remain as part of the existing item. So the motion would need to be made, in this example, favorable action in a designated amount.
Yep, thank you.
Move to approve in the amount of $115.74.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well done. The next... item my paperwork is for Joanne Fiore, and the recommendation is for $781. Questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve as recommended by the department, $781.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye. Next, for Jennifer McKenna, the recommendation is to approve in the amount of $279.72. My paper. Any questions from the committee? Council? Public? Any questions from the public? Any questions from the public? Do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $279.72.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The next one is Michael Paraso. And the recommendation is to approve in the amount of $214.14. Questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Councilman Latisher.
Oh, yes, Chairman. This is, it's actually a question pertaining to all of these items, and some time back you had made the request of having the council claim checklist, which I have on the back of all my sheets. The top five items have all been initialed off as you've requested, but every one of these has not been signed off on as any notifications being sent out. It says notified of meeting either or. They have not been checked off by anyone. Is this
the notification
is or what?
The notification was required based on finance procedure. The notification was only required if they were denied, so that they could appear here to plead their case to us, as opposed to us holding it and waiting and hoping we got hold. So the only ones that would be notified are the ones that are denied. And since you asked the question, I'm going to answer it now. There's only one claim tonight that's been denied. I spoke to council liaison, who spoke to Marge in finance. Marge did reach out to that person, sent them an email, and so they have been notified, even though it's not checked off on the list. So I'm being proactive with that.
Right. So going forward,
yes,
we would expect the denied ones to also be checked off as well, right?
Okay. And if it's not, I asked Joanne to check with them and get me some information so I have it for us tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion? Let me check with the public one more time. In the matter of Michael Paraso, are there any comments from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $214.14.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next item, Robert Weldley. And the recommendation is to approve in the amount of $266.50. Questions from the committee? From the council? Questions from the public? Questions from the public? Question from the public. Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $266.50.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Next is Michael Antonelli. I tell you, with these names, my years of teaching have come in handy. The recommendation is to approve in the amount of $850. Questions from the committee? From the council? Questions from the public? Questions from the public? Questions from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $850.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The next item is Ariana Petroselli. And we have the recommendation is to deny this, as I said, Councilman, this is the one where I reached out. I made sure they were notified. So do we have questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Councilman Sinapi.
So the recommendation for denial, while I understand it, it's at odds with the claim for Joanne Fiore, where similar circumstances happened and it was recommended for approval. In both cases, it's a vehicle operating on a roadway, and in both cases, there's a city vehicle from which debris fell and damaged the claimant's vehicle. I'm not sure if there's another part they're distinguishing it based on, but based on at least the basic facts, they seem to be similar, if not identical, for the purposes of the claim. So I'm unclear as to why we should deny this one when we approve Fiore.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. So reviewing the Fiore claim, with that one, there is clarity as to in the Fiore situation, debris came out of the city vehicle, hitting the claimant's windshield, causing damage. Whereas with the Petroselli claim, the description of that, it is a bit vague there. The description of incident reads, I was behind the Town of Warwick truck on 295 southbound. A rock came from the truck and hit my windshield, causing it to crack. So oftentimes, when a rock is kicked up from a vehicle, that does happen. But as per the
Fiore.
Well, in the Petroselli matter, where the city department made the recommendation to deny, city referred to this as a road hazard related to normal driving conditions. That indicates to me that it's not a matter of a rock falling off of the vehicle. And certainly the city should be liable in that sort of situation. But this all seems to indicate to me that it was one of those rocks or gravel that was kicked up from the vehicle, which unfortunately that happens. And the driver of the vehicle wouldn't be negligent. So for those reasons, unfortunately, that's a hazard of driving.
Also, Chair. May I please?
Of course.
No problem. I did ask Director Earl on that for the same reason. And the explanation Councilman Ricks just gave is his. There's no evidence that that rock came off the truck or was anyway due to negligence on our part. However, the photo evidence on the Fiore one lent itself to him believing that, yes, we were at fault. That stuff should have been tied down better or put on the truck better. So that he felt that the city did have responsibility on the Fiore, whereas there was no clear evidence that that rock came from the city truck, per se. Back to you, sir.
So that makes perfect sense. And now I see the description of the claim on the recommendation memo versus what the claimant provided. I can see the difference, especially now it could be kicked up from the truck as opposed to off the top, which I agree is very different. Also, just as a side note, the quotes they got are highway robbery. They need to go to a mechanic. But no, all right, that makes perfect sense to me. Thank you.
Any comments from the public? Comments from the public? Comments from the public? We have a motion.
Move to deny.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And I believe our last one for the evening is Noel Shaughnessy. And the recommendation is to approve in the amount of $300, which is the cap. Do we have questions from the committee? Questions from the council? Questions from the public? Questions from the public? Questions from the public? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve in the amount of $300.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The Public Safety Committee meeting is adjourned at 6:45. That's me. Well done, gentlemen.
The Committee on Appointments is eligible to begin at this time.
Good evening. The time is now 6:46, and appointments comes to order. First up, we have some very old minutes. February 5th, 2024, the last time we all met. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made, seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Just one appointment this evening that requires council approval. There are a number on the general docket. So this is a reappointment, meaning that the individual, Mr. Joseph Jussela, is not required to be before us this evening. Just the same, his paperwork is in order in the packet, along with a resume for a refresher. Are you here, sir? Mr. Jussela? Mr. Jussela? No? Okay. Any questions of the committee?
Make a motion to approve.
We do have one from the council.
Sorry.
Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. I'd just like to briefly thank Mr. Jussela for his service on the Historic Cemeteries Commission through the present time and into the future. It's one of these commissions that does a lot of thankless work, hard work, but without their work, we wouldn't have the great city that we do without all of these great volunteers who are putting in their time, effort to clean up these historic cemeteries and do similar work, volunteers across the city on so many of these different commissions. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. I couldn't agree more. We're very fortunate to have folks step up for all these different boards and commissions and dedicate their time. We know it's not easy. Do we have a motion? Sorry, anyone from the public? Comments, questions? Okay, public? Hearing none?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that concludes our business here on the Appointments Committee. Time is now 6:49.
And the final committee this evening is the Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs Committee, and is eligible to begin at this time.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:50. First up, acceptance of the minutes from the meeting held on September 16th, 2024. Do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So, let's see. And the City Council solicitor can correct me here if I'm mistaken. on this one item in front of the committee. The stenographer is not present, so it's not a public hearing. However, we do want to ensure that the public comment is heard on this. And it seems that because we only have 9 minutes or so before the full city council meeting starts, it may be logical to hold off the hearing, that is the public comment, from members of the city council on this until the start of the full city council meeting.
If it's the committee's prerogative, it is eligible at this time for the committee to send a recommendation of this item to the floor and to take the public comment on second passage as part of the hearing before the full council later this evening.
Yeah. First, I would ask that any member of the comment speaking at the mic needs to identify themselves. But further, this is so the mics are not picking up anyone who is not at the mic, so that's an issue right there. But before you do speak, I do need to remind you that we are not currently in the public comment period. Therefore, we on the committee do need to continue with our business, and there will be a public comment period on this, but that is not this time right here now.
No, I understand. Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm, and I'm just raising a point of order that the party's not here. Thank you.
So we have not yet started a hearing on any particular item.
So do you want a motion to move this to the floor?
Correct.
So moved.
All right, we have a motion to move to the floor, full city council, without recommendation on item 1, PCO 8-24, order on the abandonment of portions of Strawberry Field Road, Murray Street, Bunker Street, and Fieldview Drive, Rhode Island Airport Corporation petitioner, second passage. Do we have a second to that motion?
Just a point of order. That motion is move to the full council without a recommendation for public,
correct,
to include public
comment. That is the full motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
There being no further business in front of this committee, we adjourn at 6:54 p.m.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we will start the full council meeting at 7 o'clock. We will do roll call, salute to the flag, general communications, and then I will ask my colleagues if we can move that last item up. So we'll do it right at the start of the council meeting. Thank you. We'll see you at 7 o'clock.